Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Jersey Boys Podcast here exclusively on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, powered by SB Nation. Dave Sturcio alongside nationally known comedian Brett Ernst and, of course, America's fan Keith Ernst, currently not in America. He is actually in Mexico. So we do apologize if there's any lag at all with him, but he's and I'm lag, by the way. But, Keith, how's Mexico treating you, bro?
I'll say calor. I'll say calor, bro. It's hot.
Yeah, hot. All right. Well, up here in Jersey, where this podcast is based at, out of it is a nice 65 degrees and sunny today. So actually, no, it's pouring rain. So I'm completely jealous of you being in Mexico. Brett, how we doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man. It's nice down here in Florida. You know, weather's great.
That's good. That's good. So we're moving along in the off-season program with the Dallas Cowboys, obviously. We're about
really exciting stuff, Dave. Really exciting.
Two and a half weeks into free agency. Some cool things have been happening. We finally had our first Mike McCarthy sighting, the first time in a long time. It was indeed bearded Mike McCarthy. I think there's something to be said about that. He looks like an absolute badass. And so he had his press conference the other day, and he actually, you know, touched on a lot of things as far as their signings, their strategies. Excited about getting back to a normal schedule, getting guys out to Oxnard. You guys want to go? You want to try to get out to Oxnard? How far are you from Oxnard to California, Keith?
About an hour and a half.
That's not terrible. I wanted to go a couple years ago, but it just, you know, everything blew up. So I just couldn't.
I used to live over there about 30 minutes from there.
Yeah, I've just always wanted to go to a training camp. I think that would be fun, especially if all three of us go and we just, you know,
heckle. Oh, it's a good time, man.
And we heckle our own team. Just, you know, be those guys in the sidelines. Like, why are they so angry? So back to Oxnard. So, like I said, McCarthy, very excited.
You know what? You know what? You know why I'd want to go to training camp?
Why?
You know why?
Why?
Because every time they try to run a fake punt in training camp, I'll run out and tackle the punter for them.
Can you imagine? Like, what is that guy doing on the field? He's like, well, he tried to warn us by yelling, "Don't you dare call that fake punt." Oh my God. Unbelievable. So yeah, McCarthy, you know, like I said, touches on a lot of stuff. One of the things that kind of stood out right away is that he was confident in saying that Keanu Neal is going to start with the linebacker group. And that's big. Because, you know, there was a lot of rumors to see what kind of scheme that Mike McCarthy and his new defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, would bring to the Cowboys. But now it's all of a sudden being not spilled. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be many, many different looks. But if Neal is starting with the linebackers, don't you think? I mean, Keith, I know last week you said, you know, linebacker is where we got to focus. Bringing on a Neal to play linebacker is legitimate, no?
Sure, Paul. I mean, he's played safety, so we'll see how he does that linebacker. I mean, when's the last time he played linebacker?
Well, that's the thing. In Atlanta, there was different looks where he would kind of like tiptoe to the linebacker depth, you know what I mean? Like, and play those underneath routes and cover the tight ends and, you know, do that weak side linebacker stuff. So, you know, Brett, what do you think, man? Like, bringing on a Neal to basically be a hybrid safety / linebacker, that's got to be relatively beneficial.
I mean, but you're acting as if, like, you know, we just signed Junior Seau. I mean, you know, the guy played safety. We had a good linebacker in Joe Thomas, you know, that I wish we could have kept. But, you know, again, we'll see how it goes. It's not like, you know, if you were asking me who's the top five linebackers in the NFL, I'm going to go, oh, yeah, Neal from Atlanta. you know, they're going to use him to play. You know, it's like a nickelback type, outside linebacker type, Bill Bates type, you know.
Good old Bill Bates.
Guy that could just move up and play the run, I guess. I don't know, man. I don't know how good he is as a linebacker.
I'll say right now, and I've said this to you guys before, I am super concerned with our run defense, like super, especially if Vander Esch and Jalen are going to be there. And we have almost the same defensive line. I'm very, very, very.
We can get all the defensive line has been. No, the defensive line has been improved. You know, they brought on a couple guys here and there, like Basham and you know, the other kid that we talked about, all these guys.
Urban,
last week.
Watkins, which ones?
Watkins, right. So they definitely brought in, bodies, you know
we'll
what I mean?
Man.
So
I'm still concerned.
Yeah, again, but we have, I mean, look, the only thing I could say is that at least we're not going with what we had last year.
Right.
But, you know, and we got a new defensive coordinator in Quinn. So, I mean, everything is a step away from where we were last year. I just don't know if it's going to improve or not.
Well, not really. All right, let's look at this. We have, out of our front seven, we still have four of the same players, correct?
As far as?
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Vander Esch.
Right. Smith.
Jalen Smith.
It's three.
Randy Gregory now.
Yeah, four.
Who? Gallimore.
Neville Gallimore will come back. It's five. Yep.
That's five of this. I mean, that's what I mean. I mean, these are our starters.
So
I'm nervous.
I mean, look, last year, again, you have to give them a mulligan as far as that defensive scheme, man. Like trying to implement a brand new scheme virtually with no OTAs, no practices, nothing. I think you got to cut them a little slack. I mean, like that coordinator was proven. Him and Tom Sula, the defensive line coach, they were just proven to be complete bust, one and done. Goodbye. You know what I mean? So you got it. You got to, like, at least chalk up a little bit with the coaching. Just a little bit, at least.
Well, obviously, sure. Yeah, we knew it was schematic, but, I mean, the way some of the guys were playing was just – I mean, look, we're not going to be able to know. I don't know, man. You know, we'll see how it rolls. You know what I'm saying? We'll see how it rolls. But there was nothing with Jalen Smith's play or Vander Esch's play last year. And the other thing is that, you know, why do we keep going all in on Gregory? Has he even played a full season in 5 years?
I mean, no, but I think this could be the coming out season that he needs. You know, there's no trouble, no suspensions, no nothing right now. A lot of the media has written off Alden Smith, but in this press conference, Mike McCarthy said, I didn't write off Alden Smith yet. You know what I mean? So I know he's got no contract right now, but it seems to me that McCarthy is still willing to see what Alden Smith has, maybe on a little bit of a smaller deal. I don't know what kind of, I don't know what kind of attention this guy grabs because of the fact that, you know, again, troubled past. I don't know how many people want to take the risk and the chance. I know Jerry Jones did, but what guy goes forward and says, like, it doesn't matter, you know, we're still going to give him a shot. So if they bring back Alden Smith, does that make you a little happier, Keith, as far as like a rotational guy?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
That was easy.
Because, I mean, if Alden Smith was such a hot commodity, why would he wait for Dallas to sign him? There'd be so many teams coming
again,
in to get
him. Again, it could be that they're not confident in his off the
That's
field
why
stuff.
I'm not confident. I mean, if an NFL team doesn't want to sign him, why would I be confident with him?
I don't know. I'm just trying to, you know.
I'm just saying, though, bro.
But
the ones out of all those players I named, the two that concern me the most are Vander Esch Moore and Jalen Smith second. Those two concern me a lot. They really do.
So, look, there was nobody more critical of Jalen Smith's play than
I was last year.
You know, I was firmly on this, it was time to cut the swiper. I was done with it.
Yeah.
And look, again, I have to chalk a little bit of that up to coaching. So I'm willing. Look, I know you guys, you have your, you know, you make fun of me. Little Sturge gets too excited about these things. And I'm looking at this team right now as a complete fresh start, considering what we went through last year with COVID and all this other garbage that every NFL team had to deal with. I'm not just saying the Cowboys had to deal with it. In fact, the Cowboys probably dealt with it least amount, considering they had like 40,000 people in their stadium. But yeah, I'm looking at it as the coaching was so atrocious on the defensive side of the ball in specific, that I'm willing to give a pass to a Leighton Vander Esch, to a Jalen Smith, those guys that really, really stunk last year. I mean, Van Der Esch was hurt, but I mean, like, I'm willing to give a fresh start to these guys. All right, you're not going to see me. You're not going to see me rah-rah about these guys, but at least, you know, something.
Okay. This is all I'm going to say. If they decide to roll with Jalen and Van Der Esch and all the front five, you know, the front seven that we have, whatever, I don't want to hear it because they've if we suck this season, I don't want to hear it because they chased Rod Marinelli out of town because he sucked. Then they chased Nolan out of town because he sucked. Now, if it's a third coach and we suck, are we going to I don't want to blame the coaches again. I don't.
Then you know what? Honestly, dude, I'm with you on that. And I will 1000% back up that and say, if for whatever reason this year, you know, we're sitting here week three, week four, and we're like, I can't believe how bad this defense is again. Then yes, it's time for a personnel change. It's time for
absolutely.
It's time for us not to get on board with the fact that, like, come on, Jalen's got he's got something left, you know, or Van, you know, the Wolf Man or whatever, the Wolf Hunter, he's going to be howling in week four. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know what to expect, but at the same time, you know, you try to be optimistic about it. But if they run another coach out of town,
all I'm saying is with Jalen and Van Der Esch. When I was watching the defense, they were not filling holes, man. And that's not a coach's fault. They need to know where they have to be. They need to be able to read defenses. They need to be able to step up. And that's what scares me.
All right, listen.
The other thing, though, remember, too, that was your mom's complaint that nobody was filling her holes.
I can't. I would say I would edit that out, but that's gold. I'm sorry, it wasn't even bad. I loved it. Look,
I do like that Quinn's bringing in. You know, he brought in Neil and you say Kazee or Kazee?
I say Kazee, DeMonte Kazee.
But that's why losing Xavier Woods. I mean, I you know he was gonna go. Oh, we also got a Curse as well, right?
Yeah, from the Lions. So they're adding into the defensive side of the ball, which means you know.
what are we supposed to do though? Like,
yeah,
who
Keith,
would
come
go
on?
After?
What are we supposed to do?
But I'm really
no. I'm just
who
saying.
Go after that's it's... available right now. That's going to change our defense drastically. Because there's nothing we can add. We just got to start getting rid of.
Right, I don't know. I'm not a scout. I'm not in the NFL. All I can tell you is that. Some of the players we have now aren't cutting it. That's all I can say.
Well, here, I'll pen this question to both of you. I mean, I know that, you know, Brett just said that, you know, obviously can't do anything else right now. Obviously, with draft time coming up, that's a whole nother discussion. But, like, do you guys think that, like, towards the end of the season, don't you think the defense was starting to come on a little bit?
No.
No?
Yeah.
They were, though. They were.
Yeah, of course they were. They're the reason we won the Cincinnati game.
No.
Elaborate, please.
They played better, but they still
That's
didn't
That's all Sturch is saying.
I know. Let me talk, bro. I'm saying they played better, but they still didn't look like a unit to me. That's all.
Okay.
So, right, yeah,
that's fair.
I don't want to say that they played awful because they did. I mean, we started getting some sacks after what game 8, but you know, getting a little pressure. I mean, but now we're just willing to settle for what we think was so. Yeah, they played better, but did they really play good? That's the best way I would say it.
Okay. Well, like I'm just looking for progression to end the year. To end a bad year, I'm just looking for some kind of bright spot. You know what I mean?
We don't need to be optimistic or cynical. You just have to carve out the problem and figure out what it is.
Look,
right.
I will say that I believe that the last four games or three or four games of the season, I think we led the NFL. In takeaways, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Or close
right.
to it.
Yeah. But Brett has always said that he admired the secondary work at the very least.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. So have I. Yeah. They're, you know, but also you got to look at not only the takeaways, but if you look at the Giants game, the last game of the season, our defense played well. Andy Dalton is the one that shit the bed in the first 2.5 quarters.
Yeah. Right.
If Andy Dalton would have came to play, we could have won that game easily. And we still had a shot. And that was all because of our defense, not Andy Dalton.
And again, in the game, there was, you know, obviously games where our defense played better, but were they still playing good? And, you know, look, like I said, we don't have to be optimistic or, you know, we're not going to leave our team. We're not animal, right? I mean, we're not leaving them. We love them, but that has nothing to do with what we're assessing here as fans. And I'll be honest with you. I'll put us up as experts on the Dallas Cowboys. I've got over almost 40 years of experience as a fan. And my brother, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I consider myself at least, you know, within my CHOP sports community, I consider myself the biggest Dallas Cowboy fan. Well, then I guess that's kind of hard because Keith is actually he's a member of CHOP sports. So it's like I can't really say that I'm past Keith or past my dad or guys that have been and seen more crazy things. But look, we're ride or die.
We're more qualified than some of these guys on TV to talk about the Cowboys because they got to talk 32 teams, 31 other teams.
Absolutely.
So this is our passion. I mean, you know, and again,
and we're going to call thing. And when we first came on the Blogging the Boys, when I was talking to RJ Ochoa about coming on to this, I gave him our shtick and he listened to a couple podcasts and he said, you guys are like legitimately like for the fans, by the fans. You know what I mean? Like you guys know your stuff.
Yeah. And you know, I don't want to keep beating this down, but you know, we don't have to be optimistic. This isn't horoscopes and you know, we're not strippers that think that the universe is going to take, you know, we're not putting it out in the universe. It is what it is.
Oh, so, you don't believe in positive vibes?
No, I don't.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
I believe the second situation and playing as a unit, but I am going to take back what I did say. They were playing good. They were playing. Keith reminded me of the takeaway thing too. But
I'm just when you have such a bad season like the Cowboys had as a whole, you know, you just look for something to build off of as the season ends. And I know that, like, obviously we're 1 win away from and a weird bounce away from being freaking 4-12. You know what I mean? Like it could have been a lot worse than it was. But I mean, as you end the season when the Cowboys were technically, quote, in it. You know what I mean? And they started playing better. That's all you can really ask for, considering, you know, you don't have your quarterback and it's just the division was just a dumpster fire and there was nothing going on. So
we couldn't beat the Giants, bro. We couldn't beat the Giants.
I think that game was, you know,
I mean, Keith just
said it. If what's his face, if the Red Rocket gets off to a hot start, you know, we win that game. So I firmly believe that.
Ways because our fate was in the hand of another 6-10 team.
You know, it's great. And that's a great segue, Brett. The Philadelphia Eagles. So the news this week, obviously, you know, it's a Cowboy heavy podcast and we talk all Cowboys, but there's a lot of things that just happened in the NFL that will in fact affect the Dallas Cowboys draft in 2021. So the Philadelphia Eagles, and I find this hilarious, and this is the way I look at it. I know that a lot of people don't, but the Eagles tanked that game. Are we all in unison that like that game, they definitely just tanked away, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Keith.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eagles, fourth what? Quarter.
Right. Tanked the whole yeah. Game, I'm sure Nate, I'm sure Nate Sudfeld really needed his reps. He won't be in the league this year, but anyway, I digress. But the funny part is they tanked that game. The Giants don't make the playoffs because of it. And then they get that. They move up a couple spots of where they would have been. You know, they would have been around 9 or 10 and they lose that game and they become the 6th overall pick in the NFL draft. Now, at six, you're like, oh man, you know, what are they going to do? They're looking linebacker. Could be Parsons. It could be, you know, the tight end from the, from Florida, Kyle Pitts. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of ways you can go at six, you know, who knows what's going to happen. And then they trade that pick away. It's unbelievable. Like, and now the Philadelphia Eagles are, you know, they're setting themselves up for future good, I guess. You know, they potentially have three first round picks next year. That's if Carson Wentz goes the distance. But for them to trade out of that spot, and now the Dallas Cowboys with the 10th pick is the highest NFC East draft pick. That's big now. I think it's very big, because it goes 10, 11, 12. It goes Dallas, Giants, Philly. And then you have Washington a couple, you know, a couple clicks down. But now with that being said, are we setting ourselves up to either A, and I'm getting your opinion on this, for best player available, or is it like we have to draft a specific position, and now no matter what's in back of us as far as the Giants, we're not playing keep away or anything like that. You know what I mean? We got to get the best guy. And right now I see it being Patrick Surtain Jr., the cornerback, to drop to 10. I don't know how you guys feel about where you want to go at 10, considering the first four picks can very well be quarterbacks.
First, if it is Surtain and he is there, that's a need. That's a defensive need. You can't draft against other teams. You just have to draft for you and what you need. And, you know, again, it's the same mentality, even though football is a lot different. But like in golf, you're competing against yourself, right? Same thing in comedy. You're trying to do your best performance. The guy before you has nothing to do with you as the, you know, you're just trying to be the best you can be. And hopefully that best is going to be good enough. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how we need to draft. I don't give a shit about what the Giants need and what they need. And no, what does this team need? So if it is a Surtain Jr., I mean, yeah, I think we're strong in the quarterback position, but that would be a guy I would take if he's the best guy on the board and he's defense. But what are we going to do? Draft another receiver or running back?
I'll get Keith's opinion here, and then I'll tell you where a lot of the writers are starting to sway. And
okay.
It's starting to make me a little nervous.
So here's my thing. We have the 10th pick. That's the 10th best college football player out there in the draft. If we can't a best available at a position at number 10, no. When I say that is, if we're going to take the best, if nobody takes Trevor Lawrence, are we going to take Trevor Lawrence at 10?
No,
because we have Dak. So that, no, what we need is defense. And I go linebacker, D-line, and then cornerback. Those are my top three. If they even think
this is what I
of
was
drafting
about.
Pitts, I'm going to flip my whatever. I'm going to be so upset. I meant, come on, are you serious?
All right, so
if they wasted that, we have two above average tight ends. We don't need that. And we have the 10th pick. It's not like you have the 28th pick. We have the 10th pick. If you're telling me we can't find an above average defensive player at that pick, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, man. I just don't.
Yeah, so
they better not
take this. You alluded to it, and
I want to add to that too, though.
Go ahead,
okay.
Go ahead. Yep.
So you have 11 positions on the defensive side of the ball, right? Mm-hmm. And we're at the 10th pick. So like Keith said, we also have a choice of the best at 10 positions, right? So let's say you have the number one linebacker. You have 10 different positions right now. I would be okay with if the best offensive lineman in the country, we can use that interior stuff, you know?
I agree. I think that's not a bad play.
What the hell would we get the tight end for it? And this is basically what you're alluding to.
Well, here,
the kid
here,
in Florida, right?
Yep, Kyle Pitts. I mean, look.
Yeah. No.
The Dolphins.
No. Why? Because you see Kelsey and what's the other guy's name?
I am not on this train. I'm not. I'm just letting you know that there is a very real possibility. Now, look. Did we
need the trades? Keith's mom. No, go ahead.
All right. I go back to last year. Did we need a receiver? No, you didn't.
Different
need,
though.
You didn't
different.
Need a receiver, and CeeDee Lamb fell in your lap. So now, because they're looking at CeeDee Lamb last year as a generational talent, as a guy who maybe may have been ranked as the best receiver but in the draft. So
we need a defense last year too.
Right. And they took an offensive play.
Yeah, there. But how did we end up? I mean, it's just stupid if
you're
they
not,
do that.
Listen, you're not trying. I'm not, you're not convincing me otherwise. Like, I'm on board with you guys. Like, I don't think for a split second that a Kyle Pitts should even be sniffed at 10.
I'm going to respond. I'm going to respond to what you said, Church. I'll respond to it. Go ahead, Keith.
Hold on. I just want to ask you guys quick questions. Okay. Mm-hmm. The greatest tight ends ever. All right. Let's talk about when was Antonio Gates taken? What round?
Well, Keith, you're just arguing.
Hold on. We're all undrafted. When was Jason Witten taken? What round?
From Tennessee? I don't remember.
Third round.
Okay.
When was who's another great one? One more. Let me do one more. Let's see.
Travis Kelce, current best tight end in football.
I don't know. I'm not sure. These are off the top of my head. I don't know Travis Kelce.
I get what you're saying.
We're all in agreement, Keith. We're all in agreement.
Yeah, I know. So, I'm just. We're all in agreement. But here's why just stop the conversation. I'm just trying to make a point.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully somebody in the organization hears it, but no, because they need to hear it. But to address what you said, Sturge, this is why it was different last year. We didn't know how we actually loaded up on defense. I mean, on paper, our defense should have been our defense should have been legit, bro. On paper.
From free agency.
Yes.
Well, that and the draft, too. I mean, we drafted pretty decent defenders after CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, listen, our draft was so good. I could see us taking a CeeDee Lamb then because we were like, look, our defense is legit. And that's why it'll be different this year. We know.
Who did we get? Wait, time out. Who did we get? Gallimore. Who else?
Trayvon Diggs, bro.
All right, we took a cornerback. We took
Trayvon Diggs.
But we picked up so many defensive players in free agency.
We had two.
Smith. We thought our defense was going to be legit this year, which is why
we thought it was going to be legit because of the free agents. Had nothing to do with
that. But what he's saying is, on paper is the reason why we took a gamble on CeeDee Lamb is because we thought
that's all I'm trying to say. And why different? We know now we got problems on our defense and they need to be filled. That's it. So we're going to take either the best linebacker, defensive lineman, cornerback, and I could maybe see if we get an offensive lineman that, you know, just can't be denied because we do need some help there too, especially after all the injuries this year.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I fear that the Dallas Cowboys might think that there are diamonds in the rough deep in the draft, second, third, fourth round.
There always are, though.
Yeah, I get that part. But if you're so convinced, the Joneses and all those guys are convinced that there are good players deep in this draft, that if Kyle Pitts were to fall to you at 10, that's why you take him. That's the argument I'm trying to say, is that it's nerve-wracking. It really is.
Yeah, but how many tight ends can we have? Well, how much of an upgrade is he actually from a Dalton Schultz or
they're comparing this guy to be an all generational kind of player, man.
Whatever.
Right. Listen, again,
The draft. First of all, the draft is so freaking overrated. It's not even funny.
At least it's tired. It's
just, I know we got nothing else to talk about and I understand that, but it is, it's overrated. Every year we have these players that are just, this guy. We don't know what this guy's going to be. We have two above average tight ends. We know that. We don't know what Pitts is actually going to be.
The two greatest players in any position, the greatest running back of all time and receiver, played Division II football. The league,
he's being highly touted. He's coming out of Florida. You know what I mean?
Alabama hasn't had a quarterback. They've won all those national championships. Nobody's ever panned out in the NFL for them as a quarterback since Joe Namath.
I was going to say Joe.
But, you know, we're still – the thing's still out on Tua, but you get what I'm saying. And I agree with my father. We say this all the time. The draft has become this big thing because people make it – you know, we need that hype.
Yeah, but of course.
Look, at the end of the day, okay, again, it's the same thing with anything you do. Comedy is still just a mic and a stand, okay? At the end of the day, you can air the draft in 52 different countries and have 58,000 computer analysts. And it still gets back to the simple. Can this guy play ball? That's it. Like a Chris Spielman who ran like a 5.8 40, but east to west on the football field. you know, he's one of the fastest guys of all time. There are guys that can just play ball. And you can't see that in a draft. And you really can't see that in college. You only see that when the men get with the men and then you start banging heads. And that's how you know. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
I hear
it's
you.
All hype. If I ran a team, if I had the first person I would go for is somebody who knows talent. And look, Jimmy Johnson, and you know, he had some faults as a coach, but that's his number one thing. He could see talent a mile away. You know, he could, he always had, he just was a great assessment of talent, which is why he took Aikman, by the way. A lot of people don't know. He had his eye on him because Aikman played at Oklahoma. He didn't play at UCLA. You know that, right?
Well, I know he transferred to UCLA. Yeah.
Well, right, yeah. Well, bro, I was going to say that.
Who do you play for at Oklahoma? Go ahead.
Switzer.
Yeah, my man.
But no, Switzer. I was going to say that. Yeah, but bro, that he was going to be our pick regardless or not if Jimmy was there.
But no, listen, well, I know what you guys are saying, and I understand. Yes, the draft has turned into this must-see television primetime event where it's –
hype guys up. They got to hype them up.
Of course they do. Of course. So, yes, right now Tony the
– Rich and – I mean, I remember Tony Mandrich, the incredible bulk, being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And then, Brian Bosworth was
Oz,
the other
one. Boz, bro. Yeah.
And listen, they were good college players, and they should have panned out. But like he said, you don't know.
Right.
And well, how about we take one of our players? What I just sent you guys, the articles, I'm not going to say who they were from, but about Morris Claiborne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what a fantastic pick this is. He's going to be one of the greatest corners ever. Blah, 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 blah. It's just stop.
So, look
we're trying to fill needs here. That should be the question, though, Sturge, okay?
What's up?
And even to Keith. So we have these weaknesses. At linebacker, which again, we're going to have to give, we've seen them play great and we've seen them play bad. We know that there's greatness in them. It's the same thing with Zeke, right? We know Zeke can be awesome,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, but it all depends on how hard they work in the off season, how focused they are. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a lot there. So who in the free agency world or who in the NFL or in the draft that you would take if you had your first pick, who would it be?
Right now,
would it be Surtain?
Yeah, probably. Knowing how offensive heavy this league is, like you need guys that can cover these bullet receivers. You know what I mean? Like these guys are loading up. The Giants are loading up. The Eagles. You know, everybody. The Redskins just added Curtis Samuel. So it's an offensive driven league, and you need a defense to stop these guys. And I think corner is the way to go this year. And I've not swayed away from that.
You know what bothers me is like I would say that Penn State linebacker right now,
Parsons,
that would be
mine,
which they even say that he's a late first round pick. But that's what bothers me. It's like, I don't like when they say, I don't understand why a team took this player with the ninth pick. They could have got him in the second round. But then in the same sentence, they'll be like, this guy's he's definitely a starter. You know, he's going to be great in this league. And that's where I get confused. It's like, why do you have to wait? Like, if you really want
to. So you're saying if you know your guy, you get him no matter what.
Just get him.
Right.
Just get him. Don't. It's almost like they don't want to look like a fool. You know what I'm saying?
Well, look, there are a bunch of egotistical maniacs in the front offices. And we just so happen to have the one that runs all the front office. You know what I mean? Like, he does not want to admit. He does never, ever, ever want to admit that he ever made a mistake. You know what I mean? So like they have 10 right now. Right. And no matter who, let's just say they pick Patrick Surtain Jr. Right. And that's the guy. And we're all like, this is great. There's the hype. Let's roll. And then he just winds up being burnt. Or he winds up like a Morris Claiborne.
You can understand that pick. It's when we do these picks that we don't understand and they don't pan out.
I'll give you an example. It's like, look at the Bears. Okay. Guaranteed. Everybody talked about Trubisky. So they fell for it. They fell for it. Meanwhile, Mahomes is taking, you know what, 17th, 18th or something crazy.
Watson,
they
would
have never taken Mahomes that early because that's, you know, they don't want to look stupid. And that's what I give Giants the credit for taking Daniel Jones like they did. Because everyone made fun of him. And I know he didn't work out. I know it's not the best example. But when you follow that mentality of taking the player you want, and not taking the player the media and the experts want you to take, I think that's a better move for a franchise.
I like that theory. Yeah.
I mean, of course. And I agree with you. I think that people, they do. They're worried about how these stupid sports writers that never even hold themselves accountable, by the way. I wish there was something that was part of the DeGentleman show, what we were doing, mm-hmm. where these guys will go on TV on Sunday and just say whatever they want to say, and none of it comes out to be true, and they just move on. Nobody corrects them, and they just keep acting like they know what they're talking about.
That's honestly, and I'm not in the business to screw it. I was going to say, I don't want to name names, but like a Mel Kiper Jr., you know, like when he gives you this draft analysis and he has this mock draft and it doesn't go the way that he predicted, guess what? He's coming back next year to do his draft analysis. And we're all going to be hanging on every word that he says.
Now, Sturge, I'm glad you brought that up, because again, a lot of what people discuss, and this is why I think our show is unique. And I think the three of us are unique in this aspect, is not only are we diehard fans, but not only did we all play the game at some level, but we really, really, really study the Dallas Cowboys, and that's all we care about.
Right.
And you look at some of these decisions, and like he said too, they don't want to be embarrassed. Or here's the quote that I have on my wall, which I it's one of my favorites. It says, "Blame is great for the ego, but responsibility is great for the future." Right. So when people don't want to admit they screwed up, that's only for their ego, or if they want to put it on somebody else.
Right.
But when you own it and are accountable and responsible for it, that's where the success comes in. And I have never once heard Jerry, you know, any of them ever say, you know what, we made a bad decision, you know, because I guarantee you there are guys like those old school baseball scouts that used to go around and watch the players at all different division levels that these teams would hire that can go out and assess talent. You know, like look at all the young guys that in college football that they know about in all these high schools, and they get it right. So there are guys out there that are just experts in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's who I would find.
Yeah, not the talking heads that you see every week. And
absolutely, like, no. I get those people that are like we have friends of ours that train athletes to get them ready for the NFL, and you know they know weaknesses and strengths and footwork and all kinds of stuff that. You know, Mel Kiper, I don't even know if he's even. Well, he's got it. But again, these guys are responsible for 32 teams, 32 needs, 32 assessments. We're only one. And that's what we focus.
No, I get it, bro. But they're actually, that part is true. But they're actually looking at every single college football player. I mean, they're pretty much saying what college football player is the best and what's not.
Right, right.
If that was our job every day, I don't know how I'd be, but I'm just saying. I definitely hold myself accountable for saying something like Mel Kiper did, which you can look it up on YouTube, when Jamarcus Russell was drafted number one. Just listen to what he says. I'm not even going to tell you.
Yeah,
listen
to what he says. I believe it. I can only imagine. And I can't wait.
It's unbelievable.
Now, as soon as this is over, I'm going to Google that one. But so obviously the Dallas Cowboys are now knee deep in the offseason. There are things that have to still address. There are still moves to be made. And I think that free agency is not over yet for them. I think that there's a couple rumors surrounding a couple big name guys that they could very well be in play for. So we're just going to have
to kind of. We're the people's champion, Sturge.
Yes, we are. We are the Rock of all sports talk. We are the Muhammad Ali's. But so coming up next week, it's in the works right now. There's a chance, and I don't want to confirm it, but it's pretty much confirmed. Breonna Dix out of D210 Sports in Texas. She covers the Cowboys and she covers Oklahoma football. She'll be coming on with the Jersey Boys podcast to talk all things Dallas Cowboys. So we're looking forward to that either next week or the following week after that. We're still kind of in negotiation, but for Dave Sturcio, Brett Ernst, and America's fan Keith Ernst, currently residing in Mexico, it's been another great podcast for the Jersey Boys, exclusively on the Blogging the Boys podcast network, powered by SB Nation, and we'll see you guys next week.